I really stuff that up. That's what happens when I'm in a rush. And I shouldn't be in a rush. It's the land that time forgot. I can't function without that bass line.
I know. Where is
what
the bass line?
It's, yeah, I play the actual song.
What?
I know. Sorry about that. Welcome. It is time to go back into Perth's music history with Ross Chisholm. We do it every Tuesday.
Yep.
And it doesn't feel right without that theme tune.
No, it doesn't.
I'm so sorry.
Are you going to get the theme tune up?
No, we're not doing it now.
Oh,
we'll do
okay.
it next week. Onwards and upwards. I'm sorry. I hope I haven't cursed it. But I'm super excited because this is a really special one this week. King Pig, a band who got together on the weekend.
Yes, on Friday. Depending on who you believe Bob Gordon, who was the MC at the gig. It was their first gig in 26 years. I reckon it was longer. But anyway,
right.
Let's go back to the early bits of King Pig.
But first of all, they did get together for a really special reason, and that was a benefit which ended up being a bit of a tribute, right, to the memory of
yes.
Brian Henry Hooper.
As someone said at the night, it was the life of Brian.
Aww, that's beautiful. So Brian, yeah, sadly passed away late last week. On Friday night, a bunch of his mates and his fans, music fans from around Perth, got together in his honour, including King Pig.
Yes, which they were going to do anyway. But
yeah.
The early bit of King Pig. Okay. The band got together in late 83, though didn't gig to early 84, but there was back history, as they say.
There always is, isn't there?
Of the original band, Glenn Tobin had started out in a band called The Utensils back in 1979-80. Mm-hmm. He would have been very young at that point in time. He was just on vocals at that point in time. Other people in the band were one Brian Hooper on guitar and Tony Pola on drums, also very young at the time. That band didn't last long, and then Glenn moved on to Disabled Youth, mm-hmm. Picking up the bass in the meantime. And also in that band was one Alan Hooper, who was the vocalist. That band, Disabled Youth, had a cassette out and then went their various ways with Alan and Glenn staying together and teaming up with Mark Haywood, who's another person, a drummer, who'd been in lots of early Perth bands or punk bands. And initially they had Glenn's brother on guitar, but they didn't gig with that lineup. And they got a first-timer, Neil Traynor, came in on guitar, and they started to gig at some of the usual venues of the time, like the Shaftesbury, the Norwood. Oh, the Norwood. Down Market.
Where was the Norwood?
The Norwood was on Lord Street. They knocked it down
Street.
And now it's a bunch of units.
Yeah, right. That would have been rough back then.
As someone I know who worked there for a while, they had female performance artists on a Friday, Saturday
me.
Night. Also, they were playing at the Equator and the Whiz Bar and doing occasional Eastern State supports for bands like Hunters and Collectors.
Oh, yeah.
And others as well. But their first... when Mark left, they got Bruce Matthews came in. He had been playing in Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. And the first release that they had out was on the Perfect Travelling Companion cassette, put out by 6UVS FM Drive Time.
We've got dipped into this compilation before, haven't we? The Driver's Companion.
I don't know if we've actually done that.
You might have seen it if you went to the exhibition.
Yes, the
you
cassette.
You would have seen a little original copy. That was
yep.
your copy, right?
Yes. because Drive Time had a couple of compilations out, one cassette and one vinyl, and I don't think they got to the CD stage. But anyway, from that cassette, this is a piece called I Left You.
All right, this is King Pig on the Land That Time Forgot this morning. Ah, that is very nice. The sounds of King Pig on breakfast.
And that's one of two versions they did of that. That's the original version, which came out on the Perfect Travelling Companion cassette, and then they re-recorded it later for another cassette.
Okay, and I want to send a shout-out to Paul, who has been in touch. He was at the Brian Hooper benefit show last Friday, and he says, yes, it was a real highlight being able to see King Pig together again on stage. And he says, fave tracks, Oblivion and Swinging Man.
Yes.
You might be in for a treat, Paul. But yes, so we're doing this little retrospective on King Pig because, yeah, they did jump back on stage in honour of Alan's brother, Brian Henry Hooper, on
yes.
Friday night.
The band had continued on with Bruce Matthews in the band, continuing to gig at the Whiz Bar where they had a residency, Meccano's, which was in part of the old Melbourne, and the East Perth Tavern.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yes. Very upmarket.
Did you hang out there a lot?
I went to the East Perth Tavern, but there were... Some of the more regular clients had very, very short hair, if any hair
right.
at all.
This was when there were skinheads marching around.
Well, there were skinheads going to gigs or whatever. The band went into the studio in early 1986, recorded four tracks because they were intending to release all four tracks on a 12-inch single, mini album, whatever. But the expense of having it pressed on a 12-inch precluded them from doing so. So they picked two of them, which became the A and B side of their first single. The other two songs are still in the can, so to speak. So they're floating around.
They're somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I've been remastered and everything.
Oh, okay.
In fact, they played one of them on Friday night. But we're going to go with the B-side of King Pig's first single. As the gentleman who emailed us said, this went off, and this was always a highlight of their sound, or their gigs. This is Oblivion.
On RTRFM 92.1. Oh, so good.
That was Oblivion, the B-side of King Pig's first single, which came out in July of 1986, and they did the launch at Meccano's. They recorded another single, which was called Swingin' Man, which came out in April of 1987 and launched at the Fitzgerald. Not going to play that, because time is limited. And then in February of 88, Neil Traynor took a walk, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened then? You're going to have to wait and find out.
We're deep in the history and the music of King Pig on Breakfast this morning with Ross Chisholm on The Land That Time Forgot, taking a look and a listen back to King Pig because they got together for the first time in at least 26 years. According to Bob Gordon, but you reckon longer, Ross?
I reckon longer.
Yeah. All right. Well, they were on stage on Friday night in honour of Brian Henry Hooper. But I want to send a shout out to actually someone who doesn't have a name. They haven't sent their name. They've remained anonymous. They say a little bit of trivia, which we always like. The drum kit on Oblivion, which we just heard, was borrowed from Russell Hopkinson. What do we know about Russell? Tell us about him.
Well, everyone would know he plays in UMI and has played in Radio Birdman as well along the way. But he started off in some early Perth punk bands. In fact, I don't know if he's played with any of the members of King Pig, but...
Well, there we go. His drums were on that track.
Yeah, but everyone knew everyone back then. That was the thing.
I love it. Thank you for the trivia. Send more.
Back into the King Pig story. After Neil Traynor left, the band effectively split and then were not really doing a hell of a lot until they found another guitarist, one James Rogers, not to be confused with the contemporary
James Rogers from the Little Lord Street Band.
Or Patient Little
enough.
Sister. but this James Rogers was gigging up until a couple of years ago. He came in on guitar. He used to play in Albert Hall and they were back. Recorded material for a for what came out on a cassette. But before it came out, James took a walk, and they swiftly found a replacement, a young chappie, and he would have been very young at this point. Caleb Merry came in, but that lineup didn't last long because by December of 1990, Bruce has had enough, and it's like, bugger Perth, I'm off. Because he'd been playing in bands for quite a while,
yeah.
And headed overseas, and they were going to continue on with a different name and a new drummer, but it didn't happen. And they went their various ways. Alan Hooper got together a new band called Hogfodder, who had a couple of releases out as well. As to what happened with everyone else, Mark Haywood appears to be off the scene at the moment. He was the original drummer, although I know he was drumming with some cover type bands. Neil Traynor has been off the scene for quite some time, so it was very interesting to see him on Friday night after not having been on stage for a long time.
Yeah.
James Rogers was playing in some rootsy rockabilly bands up until a couple of years back. I'm not quite sure what he's doing now. Caleb Merry, you can catch this Sunday because he's playing in Nervequakes. If you mention King Pig to him, he'll probably go, oh, that was too long ago.
Yeah, I wonder.
And
that's great.
He's also played in rootsy rockabilly bands as well.
Yeah, okay.
As to what Glenn Tobin and Bruce Matthews are doing, they are two-thirds of the smart-ass title MTT, for those who remember Old Perth.
MTT's before my time.
Yeah. So before Trans Perth, there was the Metropolitan Transport Trust, short for MTT, which is Matthews, Tobin, Tobin. They have recorded four songs. They haven't decided what format it's going to come out on, whether it's going to be vinyl, CD, digital, whatever. And they're gigging around as well. Which I think sort of brings us to the end as to what we're going to play. I did mention there was a cassette. Now, Bruce Matthews being a drummer, he spread the love, as drummers do, played in a number of side bands, one of which was called The Cutting, who used to do double bills with King Pig, because that meant he obviously didn't have to take his drums off stage. He could play with the support band and then with the main band.
Yeah.
But the vocalist for The Cutting was Meg Travers, and she makes an appearance on this track, which came from their self-titled cassette, which came out in 1990. And this is a piece called Woman.
Featuring Meg Travers, that is the sounds of King Pig and Woman finishing up.
Taken from their self-titled cassette, which came out in 1990. There are a couple of people I'd like to thank for helping me on this one.
We don't always get a thank you section.
Dr. Adam Traynor.
Oh, yeah? He burnt a CD for you.
Yeah, he did. And a big thank you to Will Hooper, who came through in a record time to actually do burn and remaster stuff that I was playing today, because it sounds a whole lot better than crusty old vinyl and particularly the cassettes as well.
Well, thank you to both Adam and Will for making that possible. But we want to play a final song.
Not King Pig.
Not King Pig, but something a little bit special.
Yes.
Tell us what we're going to hear.
Brian Hooper had played in a number of Perth bands, starting off with The Utensils back in 1979-80,
yep.
Then Avoid Upholstery, which was 1980, then The Modern Wimps, which is 1981, and The Modern Wimps actually had a song out on a compilation cassette, which sounds interesting, I have to say. And then he played in another band called Funk de Klompen, which is 1982.
Okay.
And then he'd sort of left the music scene until 1986-87, more 87, when Kim Salmon came a-calling, because on Friday night Kim Salmon had said once the Perth version of the Scientists had knocked it on the head, he had time to go and see other bands, and one of the bands he saw was the Modern Wimps, because it also included Tony Pola. Mental note he took, so that although the scientist went off and did lots of other things, when he came back to Perth and he wanted to put a band together, guess who he called?
Yes.
Tony and Brian. And they became the rhythm section of Kim Salmon and the Surrealists, with Brian moving to bass because he'd always been a guitarist, but not just any bass player. I've always found it really interesting to listen to guitarists who move to bass because they don't play a bass like a regular bass player. It's got a bit more grunt, so to speak. And
so we're going to hear a Kim Salmon and the Surrealists track that really features Brian's bass, front and centre.
Yes, he co-wrote this, and you can tell it was the bass that led to everything else in the song. This is from the Just Because You Can't See It Doesn't Mean It Isn't There. What a title for an album, which was their second album. They were still based in Perth at this point in time. It wasn't till a little while later they ended up moving to Melbourne, with Brian, I think, the first to go. But this is a piece called Melt, Part One.
All right, Ross, thank you very much. And this one going out to the memory of the amazing Brian Henry Hooper.